The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Daryl Moose Johnston, who did the Cardinal game yesterday in New England. What a disaster that was. We will have Moose with us. He was in the booth with Kevin Burkhart, watching the Cardinals absolutely give one away. I don't want to say gag, but they gave one away. They've given away games this year against Detroit, who just fired their coach and general manager. They gave a game away to Carolina, who has been without Christian McCaffrey. They gave a game away to Miami. They gave away a game to New England. You know, if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't make the catch against Buffalo, if a Bills player simply gets a finger and knocks the ball down, I am sitting here today talking about a four-game losing streak. That's how narrow it is. And you're going to say, well, yeah, but it could have gone the other way. But it didn't, okay? It didn't. If they score the touchdown, and it was the right call at the end of the first half against, if they score, you know, they put away New England. They put them to sleep, and they didn't do it. So, talk to Moose. I'm a little crabby today. Josh Leinfuss, who covers the Cardinals for ESPN, the Cardinal beat reporter for ESPN, he will be with us at 10:45. I had a terrific long, long holiday weekend. Hope you did as well. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. They're around the valley, and before you know it, they're going to be around the state. Desert Financial Credit Union. I'm swinging in there later today. Appreciate their support. All right. The best story of the weekend, in my opinion, was Sarah Fuller, the kicker at Vanderbilt. And some of you will disagree. Some of you are going to be wound up on the fact that it was a female kicker that was out on the field in a Power 5 game. And I'm going to sit here and say, you probably don't have daughters. You're probably one of those guys that's like, just give me my football. Football, good. Ugh. You know, understand the situation and understand the impact. It's like seeing the Cardinal game yesterday when there's a female official on the football field. It's now just normal. It's just normal. And so there's going to be people that just, you're in your 50s and your 60s or your, I don't know, and you're just used to seeing things a certain way. Be open-minded. Oh, no, 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 this is going to ruin football. It was a publicity stunt and all that nonsense. That's BS. Simply BS. Good for her. I'm going to get more into her story later on because she just didn't say, yeah, okay, I'll come out. She absolutely owned it. And I'll give you some examples. That comes up at 10:35. I watched Arizona State basketball over the weekend a couple times. It's early. They don't have enough size inside, in my opinion, yet, but it's late November. Let's see what they look like in March. There was not an Arizona State football game. I tried to watch the U of A. I really tried because once Will Plummer went in at quarterback for the Wildcats, it's like, okay, there's someone that I covered in high school. There's someone that I've gotten to see on the football field. He was not on a great team. I'm not disrespecting Gilbert. He wasn't on a great team, but he got murdered when he was out there. He played... I saw that kid play quarterback, safety, punt, and kick, and have to drag his butt up off the field playing for his high school. And he wasn't one of these guys that Daddy Baller shopped around to different high schools. He went to the school he was supposed to. And he still ends up at the U of A, and he still ends up as a quarterback, and he still ends up making some plays with not a great team around him. So I watched some of that on Saturday. And then we get to the Cardinal game. So I'm going to talk about this with Moose here in a few minutes and with Josh a little bit later in the show. But I'm watching, wanting to see them put something together. So this is a team, okay? Let's just be straight on this. The average lifespan of an Arizona Cardinals head coach is about 3+ years. I am not sitting here today saying that Cliff Kingsbury is on the hot seat. What happens when you take over when a team bottoms out, which they did under Steve Wilks, okay? They bottomed out. So Cliff comes in last year, and Cliff ends up getting this quarterback, and the two are joined at the hip. But you have to have the rest of the team come along. And so we're in this really uncomfortable stage where You don't know if they're any good. You don't know if they're really bad. You don't see, the eyeball test says they're really not that great, but the eyeball test says they're really not that bad. And so eventually they're going to be one of these teams, in my opinion, if they stick with it, because I do like a lot of what they've done. I do like a lot of what they've done. We've gone through this up and down with Steve Keim, okay? Gone through a lot of it. But he did go get Kenyon Drake, who's established himself as a very good runner, although he couldn't get 1 yard. He couldn't get 1 yard to get across the goal line to, in my opinion, put the game away at halftime yesterday. It would have put the game away, in my opinion. He went and he got DeAndre Hopkins for a bag of rocks. That doesn't mean he hasn't made his share of mistakes, but he has rebuilt what they've done on the offensive side of the football. And at the same time, if you look at what they have over on the defense, I feel like he's done as good a job as he could where you had injuries come into play. I can't explain to you why this team leads the league in penalties, especially pre-snap penalties. I can't explain it. It will be one of those lack of discipline, lack of focus, lack of whatever. But they do. Kyler Murray's going to have balls tipped. Maybe it's like Drew Brees when Drew came into the league. I don't know. I haven't done a spray chart to use a baseball term. But Kyler Murray yesterday gets picked on a tipped ball. He's had more balls tipped. This team just can't figure out how to win games. They play these close games. And outside of the absolute miraculous play by Hopkins and the dumb play by Buffalo to just knock down a ball, this team should have 4 losses in a row. But yesterday was a game they should have won. You can't lose to New England, who's not good. And when you look at where the NFC West is, the Cardinals play the Rams this week. Let me fill you in on some numbers. Kent Summers put this up on Twitter about an hour ago. Okay, and Kent's seen the Cardinals from day one. Sean McVay is 6-0 against the Cardinals. Rams head coach, 6 wins, no losses. Rams have scored at least 31 points per game in all 6 of those games. 31! Average margin of victory in those 6 games, 23 points. So if you're going to give me the bird gang rules and you're being too negative, no. No. If you're going to sit here today and say, well, you know, the Isaiah Simmons flag, that was a bogus call. It happened. It happened yesterday. They lost. They had every opportunity, in my opinion, to put this game away earlier, and they didn't. And it's a sign of a team that's just trying to figure it out. They're not bad. They're not good. They're somewhere in between at 6-5. They've got 3 games left in the NFC West. It's pretty simple here. They have 5 games left. They have the Giants. They have the Eagles. They have 2 with the Rams and 1 with the 49ers. If they go out and they win all 3 games within the NFC West, in my opinion today, with all the tiebreakers that are going to come down here the way the season is going, they'll probably make it into the postseason. If they go 1-2, I don't think they're going to. So this Sunday's game, okay, there's no excuse of, oh, they're traveling west to east. There's no excuse. You're at home. You really do have your back up against the wall. And you're coming off just a poor showing. That's it. You know, this is not hard. This is not rocket science. If you're on the payroll today, it's like, oh, the Isaiah Simmons penalty. Oh, man, you know, they got jobbed on this. They got jobbed on that. And the Patriots did this. No, no, look in the mirror. It's your own damn fault. So, feel much better now. Point where I want to talk to Moose Johnson. We'll do that next with Fox Sports, NFL on Fox. He did the game yesterday in the booth. He joins us via Zoom. That is next. As promised, let's do a deeper dive now on the Cardinals and what happened in New England, and then look ahead. Big game with the Rams coming up. You almost have to put the 24-hour rule in place, and that is turn the page because you can't stub your toe next week. Darryl Moose Johnson did the game yesterday in New England with the NFL on Fox. Moose has been with us in the past. We appreciate him coming back on board again. General terms, what'd you make, Darryl, out of yesterday's game from the Cardinals' big picture?
big picture, a very, very large missed opportunity for the team. You get out to a 10-0 start, and then at the end of the day, have that one slip through their fingers. And just kind of going through some of the post game quotes. I think the big thing was, there was plays to be made at critical times during the game, and it seemed like the Patriots were making all those plays. So you had all that momentum in the beginning of the game, but New England back into it, and just the end of the first half, start of the second half were the defining moments. The goal line stand, and then allowing the New England Patriots to have a nice quarter. That was where everything shifted for Arizona.
In being around the Cardinals in your production meetings, how do you see how Cliff is building this team and how it's come together for him?
Oh, year two. He's very honest. He's one of my favorite coaches to talk to. He doesn't give you, coaching cliches. If you ask him a direct question, he'll give you a very intelligent, direct answer. Mm-hmm. So he told us, actually, when we talked to him about Kyler a little bit, Kyler in year two, he said he's doing better, much more consistent. And I kind of lend that to the fact that his rookie year, he had a rookie head coach who never coached at the NFL level before. Yeah. So there was a lot of things that guy needed. He has a little bit of fun with it. I think he's going to do a great job, moving forward in the future. I think there's some adjustments that he's made. We saw him during the course of last season, kind of incorporating the tight end a little bit more. The run game is a big part of the air raid. He got to that a little bit more last season. Obviously, he's using it again this season. So it's just it's an opportunity for him to just kind of discover and grow through the process. And I think he'll find out the things that are working at this level, kind of the tweaks to that system that needs to kind of turn a little bit. But I think he's doing a really nice job. He really is. And you could see the emotion. That game meant a lot to him yesterday. Mm-hmm. We had I remember there was two shots that we had. We had one when they were up 10-0, and then we had one when all the momentum started to flip to the New England side. And you could see the frustration. And then we had one at the end of the game when the result was there, and he realized that he had let one slip through his fingers at Gillette Stadium against what he considers to be one of the best coaches to ever coach football. That meant a lot to him yesterday. And you could see that in his face. And to me, that speaks volumes. Every game's important. He finds a reason why that game is important for himself and for his team.
What strikes you most about Kyler Murray, whether it's talking with him off the field in production or seeing him on the field? What strikes you most?
The athleticism is the thing that jumps out to you right away. It was one of the things that some of the New England guys told us was, there was a little bit of carryover because they had, coaching staffs that had played against Arizona already this year with Detroit and Miami. They had players that had played against Arizona already this year. That they could talk to. I know it's personality-wise. He's a quiet guy. He doesn't speak a lot to the media. He does a lot and I think that's a good thing. I think if you go back and you look at Troy Aikman, mm-hmm. when he was the voice of our teams, he never really gave the media a whole lot of stuff. I mean, there was a point where a lot of people wondered how he was going to be a broadcaster. But that was his role. That was his job, is the voice of the team, was not to say anything in a press conference that could allow the media to start to drive a wedge in between the teams. So even though he's with his comments, I think there's some merit there from time to time. I like to see him grow a little bit, just from a public standpoint, but you can tell how much the guys respect him and how much the guys follow him and how much they believe in him. So obviously he's very, very different around his teammates at the facility than he is in front of a microphone when he's talking to the local press or the national press. So, that's something he'll grow into and become more comfortable. They see a number of quarterbacks that early in their career, weren't as good as they were later in their career as they held press conferences.
Talking NFL football, Daryl Moose Johnson with NFL on Fox. He did the Cardinal game on Sunday at New England. Before I get you out of here, NFC West, how does this shake out from your view?
Yeah, what a crazy division. The beginning of the year, I thought you guys were going to send four teams to the playoffs. I thought four of the seven were going to be from the West. The injuries in San Francisco, to see Seattle have a bump in the road midseason, which was something that was really surprising to me. Still trying to figure out the Rams. That's a tough team. Their defense is playing fantastic, but offensively having a little bit of a blip this year. It's going to come down to the wire. And that's why, your point right at the very, very top, the 24-hour rule has to be in effect for Arizona this week. I mean, you've got to flush this game. Is it a tough loss? And even across the country, something that you always struggle doing, you're in the Eastern time zone, you're going up against Bill Belichick, you should have won that game. Really should have won that game. Get rid of that bitter taste in your mouth and get focused on your next opponent. you don't really have a whole lot of wiggle room left anymore. So you can't have another game like you had yesterday, you know, impact you down the stretch, a game that you're supposed to have won. And you're starting to, those are starting to add up on the roster. You look back at them, you know, how did Carolina beat you? How did Detroit beat you? How did you lose at Gillette? You know, those are some of the things that at the end of the season, if they're not a playoff team, that are really going to haunt them through the offseason. Sometimes you come out on the good side of that. Sometimes you come out of the bad. That's when you become the good team. And I think that's where Arizona is moving. They're trending in that direction. But right now, while they're in this process, these types of games can flip either way. Where when they take that next step, they'll control that. There'll be fewer of these types of finishes on their schedule during the course of the season. There'll be fewer Miamis. There'll be fewer Buffaloes. The fewer New England's. You won't have those because you're good enough to control the game, you know, through the 60 minutes in the four quarters, and you'll have yourself in a better position where you're running out the clock at the end of a game.
Appreciate the time and insight. As always, stay safe. Thanks.
Yeah, you as well. Take care.
Daryl Moose Johnston there with us, NFL on Fox, and we're back with more after this timeout. Right, I want to talk about Sarah Fuller here for a few minutes before we get to Josh Weinfuss. So if you've not heard of Sarah Fuller, and you're saying, Brad, where are you going here? Google Sarah Fuller. I'm going to have something on this week's Brad Sussmad Football AZ show on Fox Sports Arizona about Sarah Fuller. Sarah Fuller is a goalkeeper at Vanderbilt University. And Vanderbilt's not good. And Vanderbilt got hit by COVID last week at this time. And they didn't have a kicker. So they dig around, they find Sarah Fuller over on the soccer field, and they say, come over and be our kicker. Female kicker in a Power 5 conference. Vanderbilt's in the SEC. So on Saturday, Sarah Fuller came out, second half, and she kicked off. It was a pooch kick. And she became the first female to kick in a Power 5 conference. There was a female kicker at New Mexico a few years back, not Power 5. We have done female kicker stories through the years here on the site at the high school level. There was a female defensive lineman over at Higley last year on JV that I wanted to get over and do a story on. When we do those stories, it typically is about 85 to 90% positive, believe it or not. Believe it or not, there are people that find those stories to be negative. There are some people, I don't know if you just need something to complain about, who think that the sanctity of football, the sanctity of the sport, don't need to have women on my football team. Don't need to have women. And so I'm seeing some of the garbage about Sarah Fuller. And I shouldn't have even referred to what kind of kick it was that she did, but that's what it was to get full context. So am I going to rip that? So she goes out on the field, but here's the better part of the story. Before... in the first half, they're getting run over. They're getting beat by Missouri, and they're getting beat badly. So guess who decided at halftime, to give the Vanderbilt Commodores a speech? Yeah, Sarah Fuller. She stepped up, and she gave the team a talking to about how they weren't into the game, they weren't cheering on each other. Some of you are rolling your eyes right now. But she just didn't say, okay, yeah, cool, I'm going to go kick. She got into it. She got into her teammates. And afterwards, the quarterback said, she's part of us, part of our team. Players said, she's part of us, part of our team. Yesterday, they fired the head coach at Vanderbilt, Derek Mason. They're 0-8. Of course he's going to get fired. He actually did a pretty good job there. In fact, if you were to look back on Arizona State coaching candidates, you'd see his name a couple times. That job's almost impossible to win at. For Sarah Fuller, she ends up getting tweeted about by LeBron James and Hope Solo. When I talk to people that are of a younger age, that are in their teens, 20s, even 30s, that haven't been around sports for 50 years, 40 years, whatever, they think this story is really cool. When I run into people or talk with people or see people social that are older, 40s, 50s, 60s and above, some of them are just, I don't know, just like ogres. Just, can't you just celebrate something, anything? Like, this story is really not that hard. This is a cool moment. She's going to transfer, in all likelihood, from Vanderbilt, putting her name in the transfer. No, I'm just joking. She is going to transfer to North Texas. She wants to get her master's degree. I mean, she's doing a lot of things with her life. And for her to be out there and to step in, now Vanderbilt say, we got to find a kicker, somebody, anybody out here. Let's just go get the keeper over on the soccer team. And she comes out. Good for her. Good for her. And if this makes you feel uncomfortable, good. Open your mind up a little bit. Josh Weinfuss on the other side, ESPN national reporter covering the Arizona Cardinals. That's Josh Weinfuss. He's next. As promised, Josh Weinfuss with ESPN covers the Arizona Cardinals day in and day out. And as we sit here today, are you going to be writing about them in games in mid-January? Or are you now, Josh, thinking, not so fast?
Mid-January? I don't know. Early January, like January 10th, like this first weekend of the playoffs? Maybe. But beyond that, maybe. I don't know. Like, it's crazy because 2 weeks ago, I would have said, let's cancel my plans for January. I'm going to be busy until mid to late January. But now, with two games left against the Rams, I don't know. Like, there's a legitimate chance they're sitting at home watching the playoffs this year, which is crazy to think after how well they played for that stretch and what position they were in. But I just don't know anymore.
So last time you and I spoke, you said that they're going to regret that loss to Detroit and they're going to regret that loss to Carolina. And we've not talked since then. And now I'm thinking, yeah, they're going to regret that loss to Miami. And they're going to regret that loss to New England. Like, the margin between is this a good team or not a good team is pretty razor thin. Because if not for DeAndre Hopkins' miraculous catch, they've lost four games in a row. Right? So where are they at here on this razor thin line? Good team, not so good team.
I think they're straddling that line. There's 1 foot on good team, 1 foot in not so good team. And we just don't know yet. Like, they absolutely are regretting those losses to the Lions and the Panthers. Because right now they could be sitting at, 6-5, throwing at 8-3. That's a totally different game. That's probably top of the NFC West. That's probably top of the NFC. Like, totally different philosophy going forward. But now we're sitting at 6-5. You know, it's – I don't know if this is a good team. Like, literally in a quarter, you can say this is a really good team and a really bad team. Like, it changes so much. They go back and forth the whole game. But one thing I do know is that Kyler Murray is so important to this team. Literally, as he goes, so goes his team. He can't run against the Patriots. They lose. He can run. They win. Like, it's just really, and you can't have, as a team, you can't put everything on your quarterback like that. Right, you need the rest of the offense to step up and make plays when Kyler Murray can't run the ball. And it's just like, I don't know, it just feels like this team doesn't know who they are just yet, and they don't know if they're a good team or a bad team just yet.
Well, I think they're in that space of, you know, when a team bottoms out, which the Cardinals did 2 years ago under Steve Wilks, and then you go through the quarterback change, and then you go through this progression, and you go up, and then you go back, and then you go up, and you go back. And I think they're still in that space where – maybe a year from now, they win yesterday's game going away with ease. They put the foot on New England's throat up 10-0, and they just say, you know what, we're a good team. We're not going to sit here and screw around with you. And that's basically where they're at. They're just kind of in that in-between spot. We see teams that become really, really good where they have that hump game. And this team hasn't had that yet.
I agree. You know, for the longest time, I was considering this season to be beyond the rebuilding year. I thought last year was their rebuild, but the more the season goes, I'm beginning to think that this is just as much of a rebuilding year as last year was, because they're not winning the games that they need to win or they should win. They should have beat the Patriots going away, like you said. They really should have beat the Dolphins. I don't care how good Tua was playing. Cardinals had more talent than the Dolphins. They should have won that game, and they should have won. Obviously, they should have beat the Panthers, and they should have beat the Lions. If you can't win games like those, and you can't win games like this, like the Patriots were not a better football team. Like, you can watch that game 10 different ways. They are not a better football team than the Cardinals. But the Cardinals, like they said all after the game last night, they shot themselves in the foot regularly. This team doesn't look disciplined right now. They don't look like they have that swagger that they can say, we're going to go anywhere, anytime, any place and beat you. They just don't have that. I mean, maybe that comes next year, or maybe that never comes. I don't know.
But fans are not going to be patient. I don't know if the owner is going to be patient because, look, the average lifespan of an Arizona Cardinal coach is about 3 years. If you just go back and look at the Cardinals through the years and do the math, it's about 3 years. And so we're a year and a half into Cliff's run, and I'm not putting him on the hot seat here today. Far, far from that. I think consistency breeds success. They had that with Wiz. They had that with Arians. But I am concerned that they're still sitting here messing around with the most penalized team in the league, and they still continue to have pre-snap penalties, and they still show to be a team that late in a game you get a 15-yard personal foul penalty, and you can argue all day long that it was a bad call or not. It was a call that was made, and so it cost them the game. And it feels like every week I'm seeing kind of a Groundhog Day with this team. You just, like you said, expect them to shoot themselves in the foot, and bad teams do that. Not good teams.
It's a Jekyll and Hyde situation with them. 1 minute they look like that they can roll through everybody. This offense is clicking. And the next minute, like you said, they have these penalties or they're letting up, you know, these drives that just will eat up a ton of clock and go the length of the field. Or you don't see DeAndre Hopkins for a quarter and a half. Yeah. Like there's so much inconsistency right now that I don't think it's time yet for Cliff Kingsbury to be on the hot seat. But I do think it's interesting because, like you said, they lead the league in penalties, but yet they have the number one offense. And it's going to be a very interesting question to what's more important to Michael Bidwell at the end of the day, having that star quarterback and having that coach that could that can make this offense, you know, shine, essentially, is what he's doing. Because that's one of the main reasons why they got rid of Steve Wilks. It wasn't necessarily a 3-13. It was he wanted an offensive-minded head coach. He wanted someone to compete with Sean McVay in the division and Kyle Shanahan, someone who's just an offensive-minded coach where they can run and gun, throw points and yards up on the board. Well, that's what they're doing. So if they get 6, 7, 8 wins this year and they get 6, 7, 8, 9 wins next year, to Michael Bidwell, what's going to be – is that good enough for him? Or does he need to see playoffs next year or in 2 years? Like, it's going to be a very interesting question for him if we ever get to talk to him.
Well, that's a good way to put it, if we ever get to – I like that. Josh Weinfuss with ESPN. It's funny how owners are there the day that they introduce and they win the press conference. But during the course of the season, when bullets are flying, you can't find them. They're just not going to be around and say
– or GMs for that matter.
Or GMs, you know. It's just, yeah. You know, it's, hey, you got to figure it out.
Right.
That was good. I like that. The side on where you are with their defense. So, yes, you take away Chandler Jones, but that has been the course for the last month. Very good player that's been gone. The 49ers have been ravaged with injuries. And I don't hear a whole lot coming out of San Francisco about, oh, poor us. And I'm not saying that with the Cardinals, but really, has this defense been what you expected them to be?
That's a good question. I think yes and no. I mean, they were
come on, get off the fence. Get off the fence.
But,
what do you mean
yes
and no?
They were so bad last year. They were so bad last year that they're instantly better right now, right? And I think the problem is if they had Chandler Jones, and obviously this is a what-if game, but if they had Chandler Jones, this defense would be unbelievable. Because that what they did this offseason, I will give Steve Keim credit when credit is due. He rebuilt this defense for Vance Joseph, and he gave them a front seven that they did not have last year. And I've been impressed with what they've been able to do. Devondre Campbell has totally impressed me. I didn't really know what to expect. I had heard some stuff out of Atlanta about how he played there, but he has been way better than I expected. Isaiah Simmons, natural for him to come on as he is at this point in the season. He's been very good. Jordan Phillips, losing him was tough. Losing Corey Peters. I mean, the injuries go beyond Chandler Jones. I mean, they had a great push up front, and now you have those two main guys, and Phillips and Peters are out. Peters out for the season. We don't know when Jordan's coming back. But, you know, if everyone's healthy, this defense would be really good. But there's been so many injuries. The secondary's been hurt quite a bit. The defensive line's been injured quite a bit. It's really hard to get a good gauge. That's why I say yes and no. Like, yes, they are so much better than they were last year. But no, because all these injuries have been, you know, hurting them all over the field.
All right, before you get out of here, are they going to be playing games in mid-January and late January? I mean, really, they've got to look at their schedule and say, if you split with the Rams, is that going to be enough? You still have a trip with the Giants. It's not like it's a walk in the park by any stretch. The Giants stink 1 week, and the next week they're good. Are they going to make the playoffs, Josh?
I don't think so. I think sitting at 6-5 right now, last five games, you have Rams at home, at the Giants, Eagles, Niners, Rams. You might beat the Rams once, like you said. I think the Niners get them the second time because look what happened last night. You just never know. And then I think you have you beat the Giants, you beat the Eagles. I just don't know if 9 wins is going to cut it. I mean,
tiebreakers, though. I think it's going to come down to tiebreakers. Look, if you beat the Rams both games, you beat the 49ers, I think you're in.
Oh, I agree with the way this
division is shaping up, if you win those three games, and even if you crap the bet against the Giants and the Eagles, you're still going to be in a position with tiebreakers. I don't see a team running away in the West. I just don't.
No, I'm with you. I think they need to go – well, 9 wins, I think, could get them in. I think it'd be close, but I think 9 wins could get them in. So you need to go 3-2 or better in the next 5 to get into the playoffs. So from that standpoint, maybe they are playing at least one game, but I just don't know if that's going to happen.
All right. Hang in there. Appreciate you coming on. Good stuff. Anytime. As always. Yeah. Josh Weinfuss, ESPN, Arizona Cardinals reporter, and we're back with more after this timeout.